get ready to see a lot more political ads across TV, radio, and elsewhere over the next few weeks. Several Democratic gubernatorial candidates are making big ad buys. It's Monday, July 13th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the DNR is being sued by an environmental group who says the agency failed to properly review a site for a data center. Plus, a woman's grandfather built hundreds of silos across the Midwest, and now she's hoping to find all of them.
Just sort of had them in my head. Never really thought that I would do anything about it. They just were always there, a part of the landscape.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Elkins, and I'm hosting a Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin-sponsored tour with Holiday Vacations. This fall, 2026, we'll cruise the musical Danube River, starting in Budapest and then sailing aboard an Amadeus ship to Vienna and Salzburg, and ending in Prague. Join us for this incredible journey. Our adventure begins at wpr.org/travel.
The Democratic primary for governor is entering its final sprint to the August 11th primary. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, that's why you may be seeing more political ads on your TV.
Financial reports in the race to be governor will come out this week, but political ads can be a clue about who's heading to the finish line with wind behind them. Last week, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez announced she's spending $1 million on one ad campaign.
When goes sideways, you call a nurse.
While former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes just announced he'll spend six figures getting out his message.
Trust me, I get it. I grew up paycheck to paycheck. I know exactly.
The timing isn't an accident. Polling in the race has been sparse, and candidates want to make sure voters are thinking of them in the final month of the race and as absentee voters start to mail in their ballots. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Environmental groups are suing the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources over its review of a $15 billion data center campus in Port Washington. They say the agency backtracked on plans to conduct a full environmental review of the project, which is being built by Vantage Data Centers. Midwest environmental advocates sued the DNR on behalf of Sierra Club Wisconsin and Ozaukee County Circuit Court. They're challenging the agency's decision not to require an environmental impact statement. Elizabeth Ward with Sierra Club Wisconsin says the DNR's decision is deeply concerning.
We were able to get emails that said that the DNR had been planning to do an environmental impact statement and ended up reversing course.
The group say the DNR's decision came after a Vantage official said the requirement would, quote, kill the project. The DNR declined to comment on pending litigation. A Vantage spokesperson said it's confident in the state's rigorous permitting process and also confident that it will meet all relevant requirements. The school district of La Crosse is receiving a more than 40-acre property in what officials call the largest donation in the district's history. As Joe Schultz reports, the school board signed off on it this month.
Trane Technologies makes heating and air conditioning equipment. The company is donating their former corporate campus with a 200,000-square-foot building to the La Crosse School District. Early plans for the site include athletic fields, outdoor activity areas, professional development space, and potentially offices for district departments. Aaron Engel is the La Crosse School Superintendent.
It's really incredible, the scale of the donation. If you had to replace that building today and buy that property, you know, it would cost us $40 or $50 million probably.
The school district plans to share more detailed plans for the site in the coming months. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Democratic Attorney General Josh Call can control where settlement money goes, according to a decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court handed down late last week. The court's four liberal justices rejected the legislature's argument that the Attorney General's office requires more oversight when it comes to settlement funds. But Caleb Gerbitz, a Milwaukee attorney, said the decision did not answer all the questions that the case raised.
What happens with settlement funds is a significant question. This decision isn't all that significant because it doesn't provide a complete answer to that question.
In a dissent, conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley argued that liberal justices were handing a victory to a Democratic attorney general. It's the latest ruling on separation of powers questions raised during the lame duck session of the legislature right before Kohl and Governor Tony Evers were about to take office. How about this story? Wolves that are stealing backpacks and entering tents have prompted officials at Isle Royale National Park to temporarily close one of its campgrounds. The closure at the Lake Superior Island began on Thursday of last week and runs through the end of the month. Last week, park staff say a wolf that's become, quote, increasingly bold, dragged away backpacks and entered a tent at Three Mile Campground. Officials say the animal is relying more and more on human food. Nearby off-trail camping zones are also closed, but the campground's shelters will remain open. Earlier this year, an annual survey found a near record 37 wolves on Isle Royale. About a decade ago, only 2 wolves were found before more were transferred to the island. Park staff plan to step up methods to deter the wolf. That includes shouting, sounding air horns, and using paintball guns. Devices are also being installed at several campgrounds to alert people of any nearby wolves. Officials say the closure could be extended. The number of people in state prisons for drunken driving convictions has more than quadrupled since the year 2000. That's according to a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum looking at operating while intoxicated, or OWIs. Fewer than 700 people were in state prisons for OWI convictions in 2000. That number hit an all-time high of roughly 2,900 before falling slightly in 2025. Joe Pietrangelo is with the Policy Forum. He says OWI arrests have actually declined over the same period.
What could be happening here is that fewer people are being arrested for those initial offenses, like a first offense, but more people are being arrested for the more serious offenses.
He also said a couple of state policy changes likely contributed to the rise in OWI incarceration. That includes lowering the maximum blood alcohol content level and increasing penalties for repeat offenders. Coming up, a Midwestern silo hunter tracks family and farm history. Stay with us.
At Morning Edition, we know that the news is just one way to learn about the world. We also gain insights from art.
The iPad saved my artistic life.
Reflect on our culture through TV and film.
This is about the media which rules our lives at the moment.
And find meaning in music.
The ingenuity lies in the coded language.
Explore with us weekday mornings on Morning Edition from NPR News.
And finally, silos are tower-like structures on farms that hold fermented feed for livestock, and they've dotted the Midwestern landscape for the last 150 years. But they're also threatened by development and old age. One silo hunter in Illinois has been tracking down her grandfather's silos before they disappear. The Ag and Water Desk's Jess Savage has more.
Marianne May is driving me around the back roads of McHenry County, scanning for those round structures with a shallow point at the top that's characteristic of her grandfather's silo. Some of them have a little diamond shape on the top, his signature.
You can see the signature on that one. I mean, are you shocked that I'm showing you one every... Oh, look, there's one out there. I've already been out to that one, too. That one was a trip.
She's a self-proclaimed silo hunter, and she comes back to her hometown throughout the year to find ever more silos that her grandfather, Frank May, built on some of the oldest farms in the Midwest.
Grew up in Richmond, always knew where a lot of my grandpa's silos were, and just sort of had them in my head, never really thought that I would do anything about it. They just were always there, a part of the landscape.
Silos probably fade into the background for most people who live in the Corn Belt, but their legacy is rooted in Illinois. Historians believe the first one in the Midwest was built in Spring Grove.
All of these magnificent, very utilitarian buildings that really speaks to this kind of rich, dynamic, very diverse agriculture that was practiced.
Bill Kemp is a historian with the McLean County Museum of History. He says silos transformed livestock agriculture. Farmers used to have to rely on dried hay to feed their animals over the winter, but it was bulky and it didn't last long. But silos are airtight containers that farmers could pack tightly with corn, allow it to ferment, and then store it for years. They used to be made of wood, but when people like Frank May started using concrete, farmers could grow their livestock herds even larger. Kemp says initially, farmers were skeptical of this new invention.
Once you would have a farmer in a particular township or in a rural neighborhood construct a silo and find how useful it was, and then that would be quickly adapted by his or her neighbors.
Marianne May says silo hunting can be a thankless task. She's been doing this for 6 years and has identified almost 200 of her grandfather's silos. She estimates there to be at least that many more.
Almost every place I go, there's something. There's some connection, whether it's somebody in my family or extended family, or maybe they worked with Frank, or, you know, there's something fun to be discovered.
So much of this is investigation and guesswork, but she can speculate what it was like for her grandparents to grow up as neighbors, or why he used one shape over another. She brings me to farms with some of her favorite silos. She also brings me to Frank May's childhood home and pointed out the matching silo at the farmhouse across the street. That's where Marianne's grandmother grew up.
I think it's important that these silos are identified, the locations identified, where they are and where they were, because each time I come home, there are some gone.
One of our last stops was a silo she'd visited before. At the very top, she could just barely see something scratch with a fingernail into the concrete. She asked me to bring my zoom camera lens along, and we were able to see the names of her grandfather, dad, and uncles. It was a huge moment, since so much of her research and hunting is based only on clues. It's only the second time she's found his full name written out like that. She called the landowner to tell him.
We believe it says 1940, which makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Because he may have built it 20 or 30 years before that, and then they wrote their names in there. So,
how about that?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I'm glad that stayed, you know, and everything worked out.
It's yet another reminder that the project is never ending and that it's a gift to learn more about the family history of the area's farming community and the mark farming made on Illinois' landscape.
He's going to be talking about it. I'm going to be talking about it to my family. This is a huge deal to be able to find that and for you to identify what it actually says. It's unbelievable.
She'll be back later this summer to keep finding silos and talking to farmers. I'm Jess Savage.
The story was produced by the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk and is being distributed by Harvest Public Media. And let's get a quick check of your forecast in here before letting you go for the day. An extreme heat warning in effect for parts of western Wisconsin today, with the rest of the state under a heat advisory. Highs in the 90s today with heat index values approaching triple digits. Overnight lows in the 60s and 70s. Tomorrow's going to look and feel almost exactly like today. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Hey, just want to drop a quick note in here. Speaking of Courtney Everett, she is going to be stepping into the hosting role for a little while. This is my last week on the air for a bit here at WPR, as I will step away to help celebrate the birth of the second child in my family. I'll be coming back in the fall, so don't worry about that. And Courtney Everett will keep you going in the host chair until then. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.